God can do anything with anything. He can heal any hurt, any suffering. Every cross, every care, every burden he'll bear. For anyone, anywhere, God can do. Something. He's the giver of life. He's hope to the hopeless and he's sight to the blind. He makes impossible possible when there's no other way. He makes the blackest sin white as snow. That's why we can say God can do anything with anything. He can heal any hurt, any suffering. Every cross, every care, every burden he'll bear. For anyone, anywhere, God can do.
My soon coming King, Jehovah Messiah, the reason why I sing. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, my Savior and Redeemer. He's my closest friend.
Every cross, every care, every burden he'll bear. For anyone, anywhere, God can do anything. God can do anything with anything. He can heal any hurt, any suffering. Every cross, every care, every burden he'll bear. For anyone, anywhere, God can do anything.
Every cross, every care, every burden he'll bear.
For anyone, anywhere, God can do
ladies. Thank you, and God can do anything. And may I say, he can do anything with anything, and he can do anything with anybody. You know, when I was praying about our special guest speaker for our conference, I began to pray and ask God who he would have for us as our speaker throughout the week, and he began to lay on my heart a gentlemen, and I thought, who better to come and preach about missions than a missionary that knows the heart of missions, that's been on the field, done the work. And I'm excited to have as our guest speaker throughout this week, tonight, all the way. And he'll be speaking on Sunday night, the concluding message on Sunday. Brother Johnny Leslie, our missionary of from Trinity Baptist Church to the country of Croatia. Now, Brother and Mrs. Leslie and their children will be here on Sunday morning, will be in the adult Sunday school class, and they'll be presenting their presentation and get that thing showing you what's going on there in Croatia. Probably have a little bit to say about the translation, and I've got in my office, Brother John, still have the New Testament. Amen. in the Croatian language. Read it every day. I didn't say I read the Croatian. I said I read my Bible every day. See, you just assumed. But it's been a great, great privilege to know Brother and Mrs. Johnny Leslie. When I started a Sunday school class, I was an assistant pastor here. Preacher asked me to start a Sunday school class for young couples. I started a married couples class, Brother and Mrs. Leslie. Y'all remember that? We're one of the very first couples. Matter of fact, some Sundays, they were the only couple in that Sunday school class. But we had a good time, and I'm happy to have Brother Leslie as our special guest speaker this week. I hope that you've been praying for him and asking God to anoint him with fresh oil as he comes to preach the word to us during this missions conference. Brother Leslie, God bless you. Welcome.
Thank you, preacher. Love you. Amen. Boy, what a joy it is to be here tonight. And I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't scared and nervous, but I thank God for this opportunity to come back here to our home church and to be able to preach this conference. I don't feel worthy, but I do feel that it was God's will, as Brother Laster has said, and I am excited. I've been praying. I can't tell you how much I've prayed since Brother Laster had asked me to come, and I've been praying, and in my prayer time, God told me what to preach, so I know that what I have is what God wanted me to preach, and I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see the other missionaries, to see the presentation from Scotland. Boy, I'm like Brother Laster. Every time I see a presentation, I want to go there. Now, I'm close enough to Scotland. I think there's a brother from Ireland. I'm going to hit him up for a vacation. You know, I'm going to come up there. I'm not that far from him. And, you know, my family's from Scotland, they tell me. So I'm going to go see if I can find my castle there, see if that works out. So, it is a joy to be here tonight. Now, I don't want to keep you all night, so I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and look in Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 6. I am delighted to be here. I'll talk about Croatia probably throughout the message. And messages. I draw a lot of illustrations from that. But Sunday morning we'll have the presentation and you'll get to see what God's doing over there. For you that may want to know about Brother Ward, I can tell you he's still on fire for God and holding his gospel signs up. And he's made the newspaper. And first time I saw it, I thought, boy, he's going to get in trouble. But it was a positive article. And praise God for everything he's doing. Pray for him as he's over there. Isaiah chapter number 6, please stand with me if you would, so we'll read the Word of God together. Isaiah chapter number 6 and verse number 1, the prophet Isaiah says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings, with twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. I want you to look in verse number 1. We're going to look at the whole passage again in just a moment. But in verse number 1, I'm going to take our text, the thought for tonight, from verse number 1. Isaiah says, In the year that King Uzziah died, now listen to this, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Now I want to preach to you tonight on this subject, I see. I see. Our Father, we love You. God, what I need tonight is You. Father, Your people don't need to hear from me. They need to hear from You. Now I'm asking You, dear God, to use me as a vessel tonight. I'm yielding myself to You. And Holy Spirit of God, I'm asking you to speak through me. Father, take the words of God and just burn them in our heart tonight. Father, I pray that you would change us all for the glory of God. I pray, dear God, that you would go from pew to pew and person to person and speak directly to the heart of people tonight. And Father, what we need tonight is God. Don't need a flashy sermon. Don't need, Father, anything like that. What I need is God tonight. What your people tonight need is God. And I ask you, please, Lord, burn this truth in our hearts. Help us to see once again. Our Father, we love you. And I pray that Jesus Christ would receive all of the glory. And I thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Just want to talk to you for the next few moments on the subject, I see. You know, as the brother from Scotland, Brother Weaver, was showing that presentation, I don't know if you caught what he said when he began to talk about how that Scotland was once the land of the book. That caught my ear, my eye when I saw that. And he said that at one time they were sending out more missionaries than per capita than any other country. They were sending missionaries. David Livingstone, I guess, is from Scotland and others. And as I saw that, I couldn't help but to think that America is on the same course as Scotland was on. You know, America sent out a lot of missionaries. Still, they're sending out a lot of missionaries around the world. But I'm afraid that if we don't change something in our country, we're headed the same direction that Scotland and Ireland and England and many other countries throughout history has happened to them. Hey, we're not immune to what has happened to those other countries. We're headed, folks, if we don't wake up tonight, America is going to be the next Scotland. There are going to be missionaries coming here saying America was the land of churches. America was the land of missionaries. America was the land of the Bible. And now we're sending missionaries to them. Hey, we're headed that way, folks, if we don't wake up tonight. Many times in Christianity, I believe God's people suffer from a thing called blindness. We get so complacent in our life and we get so immune to things that we no longer feel for people. We no longer get burdened by the Word of God like we once did. Christians suffer from blindness, but they're not like blind Bartimaeus in the Bible. You see, the difference between blind Bartimaeus and the Christians is simply this. Blind Bartimaeus knew that he was blind. Every day he sat by the highside begging because he knew he needed some help. But see, we suffer from a different kind of blindness. We're blind many times and we don't even know we're blind. Hey, we think we're doing good. We're doing something for God, but bless God, we can do more. And I pray that God would do something in our hearts through this conference. You see, Christians that are blind, they're not like Bartimaeus. Their problem is they think they can see, but in truth they cannot. We're suffering today from a lack of vision. We cannot see what God wants us to see. We see slides. You know, I can remember a time when I was a young preacher and I would watch Christians in different churches where I was at. And when the missionary would show the slides, I would look at across the auditorium and there would be people with tears rolling down their faces and hearts that would be burdened. And you know, you don't hardly see that anymore. A lot of times it's just another presentation, another field, another missionary. Bless God, we'll send a little money and praise God he's going there. Well, whatever happened to Christians with tears rolling down their faces and praying for that country that God would do something there? Talking about a burden tonight. In our text, Isaiah slowed down just a little bit in his life. And when he did, he saw something that changed his life. You see, Isaiah saw something, and once he saw it, he couldn't get over it. And you know what we need tonight in Christianity? And I know who I'm talking to, folks. Hey, I love this church. I really do. You're going to think I don't love it, but I love this church. I told Brother Smith, I got nervous when I heard he was going to be here because that's my hero sitting over there. I mean, he's affected my life, and Brother Lasser in that Sunday school class. My wife and I have talked about it over and over. If we would not have come here and sat under Brother Lasser, I don't think we'd have made it on the mission field, getting the truths that he had taught us in that Sunday school class. I thank God for this church. This church has done a lot for God. But folks, we need to wake up. In America, there's a world dying and going to hell. And I can tell you, when soul winning is not what it used to be, there's something wrong. I can remember a time when soul winning rooms were full of people. Now when I come, I can't even get a partner to go with me. There's something wrong with it, folks. You see, we become blind in America, and we need to wake up.
Isaiah saw something, and when he saw it, it changed his life. And I think tonight, if God's people in Trinity Baptist Church would get a hold of what Isaiah saw, it would change our lives as well. So I'm going to just skip the introduction and go right into the sermon tonight and give you these three things that Isaiah saw. Number one, Isaiah saw God for who He was. Isaiah saw God for who He was. The very first thing we need to see tonight, folks, is we need to see God for who He is. Look, if you would, in verse number one, the Bible says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple." Now look at it. "Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly." Now look at it. "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then Isaiah cried out, then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar." Can I tell you the very first thing Isaiah saw is he saw God for who he was. And if we're going to wake up tonight, we're going to have to get back to seeing God for who he is. You know the very first thing he saw about God? That God is and was and still is holy. Hey, we serve a holy God. You look at it, verse number three, "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Hey, folks, we serve a holy God tonight. Hey, when Isaiah saw God, he did not see his buddy. He did not see his best friend. He did not see some broken old man in a rocking chair. He did not see a God that didn't know what was going on in the world. He didn't see a God that wasn't in control of anything. When Isaiah saw God, he saw a holy, holy, holy God. Hey, I want you to know, you're looking at one preacher that still believes that God is holy, holy, holy. He's holy. He did not see some broken down man. No, no, no. He saw a holy God. He saw the living God. He saw God who was and is without sin. He saw a God that could not condone sin, let sin in His presence. He saw a God that was and still is holy. You know what we need to see tonight? We need to get back to seeing God for who He is. Hey, we need to get on our face before God and say, God, if I haven't seen you that way, show me yourself. I want to see you as holy, holy, holy. You know, it'd change your life if you'd see God that way. You know, most of us, and you don't have to be honest with me, but most of Christians in America, they're getting their ideal of God from the latest TV evangelist or the latest radio preacher. And most of them don't even know God. They wouldn't know God if God knocked on their door and showed up. Hey, Isaiah saw a God that was holy, holy, holy. And by the way, this is where you're going to find Him, right here in this book, this old King James Bible. This is where you're going to find a holy, holy, holy God. You're not going to find it from the latest preacher selling you his prayer hanky or whatever he's doing nowadays. You're going to find it by getting in this book. And by the way, to do that, you're going to have to turn the TV off a little bit. You're going to get off Facebook a little bit. You're going to have to get in this book right here. Hey, there was a time that preachers and Christians spent time in the Bible. I remember hearing a story about those that were in the Waldensians, and the priests would say about their children they knew the Bible better than most priests knew it. Now, in order for that to happen, you know what they had to do? Spend time in the book. They had to know the book. How many of us could say that we know the book? Hey, we know everything about the latest sports team, don't we? We know everything about the latest TV program. But how many of us know this book? How many of us spend time in this book? Hey, if you're going to see God as holy, 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 you're going to have to get in the book. You're going to have to get in the Bible. So he saw the holiness of God. The second thing he saw, not only was God holy, but he saw the wrath of God. Look, if you would, in verse number 4 there in Isaiah chapter 6, in verse number 4 and verse number 5, it says, "And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone." You know what he saw? He saw a holy God. And he saw a God
with wrath. Hey, that might not be popular today, but we need to be preaching it. Hey, God's holy, and God does not condone or wink at sin. God still hates sin, and when we see God for who He is, we will understand that that God that is holy will judge sin. A young person, you listen to me, you might not think so because you're young, but I guarantee you, God is going to judge sin. He doesn't wink at it, doesn't let you buy with it. God's full of wrath. He's holy. I know modern Christianity wants to hear all about God's love. I was driving over here, saw a church. I don't know what kind of church it was, but the sign said, God is love. Everybody wants to hear about that. Is God love? Absolutely is God love. For God so loved the world. We can quote the verses. But you ever notice, you never hardly see those churches with a sign that says, God's full of wrath. Turn or burn. You know, that kind of thing. That's not popular. They won't get too many people coming in their church. Now, I'm not saying put that on their church sign. I like the ministering of the multitude. It's a pretty good sign. You know, just put my two cents in there. But what I am saying, it's easy to put God is love. Everybody likes talking about that. Hey, but more than God is love, God is holy. And when you stand in front of God without a Savior, you will be condemned and thrown into the lake of fire. I don't care what preacher says, oh, that's not going to happen. God's love. The Bible says it will. I'm getting my information from the book. God is holy. God is going to judge sin. But then we can also say God's compassionate. He is compassionate. Look in verse number 6. The Bible says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Hey, God had a remedy for it, didn't He? Hey, He looks at those picture or those people in Scotland, and God is holy, and without a Redeemer, they will die and go to the lake of fire. But Jesus came. He died on a cross. He paid the penalty for sin, and anyone can come to Him. For whosoever will may come, take of the waters of life freely. Hey, God's got a remedy. I look at my people in Croatia, and I thank God that I can look at that Catholic and tell them, hey, God loves you, but you're a sinner, and you're going to go to the lake of fire. The other night, I was telling someone that I was in a church in Corpus Christi, Texas, and someone brought a tennis player from Croatia to the church. Her name was Mirna. Can everybody say that with me? Mirna. No, I'm just kidding. But Mirna came. And she was so excited to see us there, and I immediately began to speak Croatian with her. And I began to talk to her in Croatian, and boy, I was having a time, you know, getting to speak to somebody in Corpus Christi, Texas, in Croatian. And so, got to talking to her after church, and I said, Mirna, if you died today, and this is all in Croatian, do you know for sure if you'd go to heaven? And she said, oh, I think so, I'd go to heaven. And so I began to go through the Bible with her, show her that she's a sinner, showed her about the lake of fire, and this is what she did. She looked at me, and she said, well, then, who can go to heaven? Who can go to heaven? And boy, what a joy it was to say, hey, God is holy. He will not condone your sin. He must judge your sin, but He sent a Savior down for you. And anybody can come to Jesus. Mirna bowed her head there in Corpus Christi, Texas, and received Jesus Christ as her Savior. I still hadn't gotten over it, can you tell? Still excited about it. Hey, God's in the soul-winning business. God has compassion. God is holy. God is full of wrath, but God's compassion. Hey, and folks, if we would see God for who He is, we might get out and do more for God. It might not be that hard when it's time to do the faith promise card to just open that thing up and give Him whatever God tells us to give without holding on to anything. If we saw God for who He is, we might want to do more for Him. That's what Isaiah did. He saw God and he just dropped to his knees and said, oh, woe is me. We need to get back to seeing God for who He is. He's holy, and He must judge sin. So first thing Isaiah saw is he saw God. The second thing he saw, Isaiah saw himself for who he was. You know, he saw God, but then he saw himself. Look, if you would, verse number 5, there in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. The Bible says, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. So Isaiah saw God. And you know what the natural response is when you see God? You'll see yourself. Hey, you'll see yourself when you see God.
I can remember when I saw God as holy in my life, I started seeing myself for who I really was. And I didn't look that good, folks. I don't look that good right now, but I tell you what, compared to God, I'm telling you, Isaiah saw himself for who he was. Look, if you would, in Judges chapter number 13, just real quick, Judges 13. Look in Judges 13. The Bible says in verse number 18, "And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it, fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God." You know, folks, when you see God for who He is, you'll start seeing yourself for who you are. You know, the problem is, too many of us don't get in the presence of God. We don't spend enough time with God to know who He really is. We've got our own ideal about who we think God is. Hey, you've got God. You've got a little box. You put God in it. And you've got your little imagination what you think God is. But what you need to do is let God get out of the box you've created for Him and get in this book, spend time in this book, and find out who God really is. Because when you see God for who He is, you'll see yourself for who you are. And when you do, you're going to do like Isaiah and say, "Woe is me, for I'm undone. Woe is me." It's amazing God would choose to use any of us when you see yourself for who you are. Hey, when I look at me, I think, how could God ever use me? I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But you know, you ought to come to your place and say, "Oh, woe is me. Woe is me. God is holy. Woe is me." You know, too many of us don't think we're really that bad. We think we just barely missed heaven. We've just kind of been skimmed along the top of hell. We're not that bad. You know why we think that? Because we haven't seen God for who God is. Hey, when I look at some people, I might think, "Well, I'm not that bad." I look at some mass murderer, and I can look at that and say, "I'm not that bad. Surely, I'm not that bad." But oh, when I look at God, I've got to say, "Woe is me, for I'm undone. I deserve to burn in the lake of fire. Woe is me." Hey, folks, we need to see God for who He is, and that'll lead us to seeing ourselves for who we really are. Woe is me. You know, when we see ourselves for who we really are, God can use us to minister to the multitudes. You never be used of God until you see yourself for who you really are. God needs a servant that would see God as holy, see themselves as who they are, and God will use you. God will use your life. And that leads me quickly to the last thing that Isaiah saw. If you'll look at it with me, chapter 6, verse number 5 again. The Bible says, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." The third thing Isaiah saw was others. He looked and saw those people in Scotland and said, "Hey, woe is me, but woe is them. Woe is me, but woe are the Croatians. Woe is me, but woe are the people in Arlington, Texas. Woe is me, but woe is the people in the Dominican Republic. Woe is me, but woe is those that are in Ireland. Woe is me, but woe are those in Russia and the Philippines and all across the planet. Woe is them. Woe is them." Hey, you know, folks, when we see God for who He is and we see ourselves for who we are, we'll see the multitudes for who they really are. They're just as lost as we are. The difference is Isaiah had a remedy for his sin. God sent the angel to purge his sins. We have a Savior that purged our sins. The difference between us and those in Scotland, they don't know that there's someone that can purge their sins. Those little kids don't have a Bible.
We had a lady in our church. I was telling someone about her. She was our landlord in the new church plant we have. Her name's Baca, which means grandma. She insists that we call her grandma. Everybody calls her grandma. And she's our landlord. And she got saved, and we baptized her and her husband not too long ago. And when we got our New Testaments, we gave her a New Testament. And she held that thing. I'll never forget it. She was holding it. And she come in and told me, she said, this is the first Bible I'd ever owned. She's 50-something years old. I don't know her exact age. First Bible she'd ever had in her life. She is holding it. We'd come in to preach, and we'd say, look in Matthew chapter 3, wherever it was. We'd watch Baca. She'd be thumbing through there trying to find it. We'd give her the page number. We all got the same Bible. Amen? Got the same Bible. And by the way, it's a King James Bible, just in a different language. And no, I don't know Greek, but I believe the King James is just good. Just put that in for free. Others are just as lost as we are. You know what Baca needed? A Savior. You know what those in Scotland need? A Savior. You know what those right here in Arlington, Texas need? A Savior. Folks, if we'd see God for who He is and we'd see ourselves for who we are, it would lead us to see others for who they were, and I bet Thursday night soul winning in the room would be packed again. I really do. I think Saturday morning it'd be packed. I really do. You say you're fussing. Yeah, I guess I am. That's okay. I'm going back to Croatia not too long from now, I guess. I want you to know something, folks. Our hearts need a break once again. We need to see the multitudes as they really are. They're sinners, and they're going to be judged by a thrice holy God one day. One day, those people in Croatia that never heard the gospel are going to stand in front of a God, and they're going to cry out, holy, holy, holy. But it's going to be too late. There'll be no remedy. There'll be no angel to go and grab a tongue to purge their lips. No remedy found on that day. God will have to take them and throw them into a lake of fire because they never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, I think we need to get back to seeing others as they are. I'm convinced that we don't see the multitudes as they are because we haven't seen God for who He is. You know, if we were honest, most of us in this room really don't believe hell's a real place. Most of us don't believe heaven's really that real. We talk about it, but we really don't believe in hell. You know, if we believed in hell, we'd do more to tell people how to get out of it. You can't believe in it. If hell is real, and it is, by the way, as the Bible describes that it's real, and as the Bible gives the picture of hell, if we believe there was a lake of fire, there wouldn't be a person we wouldn't tell to try to escape that place if we really believed it. People need Jesus. What God needs tonight is some Christians to get off of Facebook and get back in God's book. Turn the TV off a while and get back to the Bible. Folks, we've been blinded, going to sleep. What we need tonight is to get on our face and say, holy, holy, holy. God, I'll give You my life. God, I'll go to Africa. I'll go to Scotland. I'll go to Croatia. I'll go to Serbia. I'll go to Russia. I'll go to the Philippines. I'll go wherever You want me to go. We'd get on our faces and see God. I guarantee you there'd be some young people that say, I'll go. Because look what happens as I close in verse number 8. Look in verse number 8 with me. After Isaiah was purged of his sin, look what happened in verse 8. He says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Hey, after Isaiah got a picture of God and got a picture of himself and got a picture of others, then God said, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And look at Isaiah's response. Then said I, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. I remember that day that the Spirit of God began to deal with my heart. Folks, I got on fire for God. God saved me out of a rotten, wicked life, and I still hadn't got over it. I thank God for what God saved me from. I'm still excited about it. I still get excited. Hey, I serve a risen Savior. He's coming back. He took me from a pit. I was on my face before God today, and I was thanking God for giving me this opportunity. I said, God, I don't know. You took me out of a pit and put me, I'm going to preach here at Trinity Baptist tonight. And I said, God, I don't understand that. I really don't. I mean, I know who I used to be and what God has done for my life and what He's doing in Croatia, and I can't get over it. I don't understand it, but I'm so thankful I got into the business of God. Thank God for it. Young people, you'd never regret it if you'd give your life to God. Hey, you think you're going to get happiness in this world? It's going to give you heartache and pain and sorrow. Get right with God and do something for God. Wake up. You need to see God for who He is and see yourself for who you are and get a burden and a broken heart for people that don't know the same God that we know. One of the greatest blessings is a Croatian. I'll end with this. There's a gypsy man by the name of Dayan, and Brother Sam's trying to help getting back in church right now, but he got saved and he got on fire for God. That guy started bringing more gypsies to the Lord. Anybody ever seen? He'd fill our van up, gypsy men would come. They'd be on my front porch at church and he'd bring a guy over to me and said, Brother Johnny, he said, this guy didn't know how to get saved. Could you tell him how to get saved? Brother Sam sent me a picture. He's still bringing people to the Lord, and there were four men around Brother Rich, the national preacher, and he's leading all four of them to the Lord right there in church. Hey, folks, I want you to know the business of God is a good business, and I'm glad I got involved in that. Hey, I get more excited over those four men to get saved than I ever have over watching a football game or hitting a home run or whatever else we do around America. Hey, it's not a bad thing to be a missionary. Don't feel sorry for them, folks. Hey, we're serving a king. It's a good thing. I'm glad I surrendered to God's call in my life. Folks, let us get on our face before God tonight as we start this first night of this conference. And let's say, God, show me. Show me. Open my heart up once again that I might see You as holy. You know, some of us might be in some kind of sin. We're running from God tonight. Why don't we get rid of it? Why don't we just come to an altar tonight? You know, there was a time I can remember when I first joined Trinity Baptist Church. You couldn't find a place at altars. You really couldn't. Now, I'm not criticizing. I'm really not. I love this church. This is one of the best churches I know. But I will say, when I came back, there was lots of places right here. And the preaching hadn't changed. It's just as hot and good as it's ever been. You know what's happened? We don't see God anymore. We don't. We're too busy in other things. We've forgotten how holy He really is. How good He really is. Let's get a vision of God tonight. Hey, I could have preached on faith promise. Can I tell you? If you get a vision of God, you'd take that wallet and you'd put it right there on the altar and say, God, what do you want me to give? I'll give it. We'd bust that goal wide open if we'd see God for who He is. How about it tonight? Will we give God our hearts? Get on our faces and say, God, help me. I lost that vision. I need to see God for who He is. Could we stand to our feet, please? Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to have an invitation. The pianist will come. I wonder tonight, a crowd this size, there may be someone here, and you'd say, Brother Johnny, I'm here. And I heard what you said, but to be honest with you, I don't even know if I know God. I don't even know if I know God. I don't know if I'm saved, but I'd like to know if I could know. I'd like to know if I could know. Pray for me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. But young men, please bow your heads, close your eyes. We're having church. Maybe you're here tonight, you say, Brother Johnny, I don't know if I'm saved, but I'd like to know. Anybody like that, you just slip up your hand that I might pray for you. Anybody like that, just slip up your hand till I see it. I don't know if I'm saved, but I'd like to know. I'd like to know. Maybe you're here tonight, you'd say, Brother Johnny, I'm here, and God spoke to me tonight. My heart's burning right now. I think God wants me to surrender. Maybe I'm scared, maybe I'm not, I don't know, but God's burning my heart right now. Pray for me. Would you just slip up your hand that I might pray for you? Anybody like that, say, I thank God. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else, say, pray for me. My heart's burning right now. Maybe I need to surrender to God tonight. Our Father, we love You. God, please do something here. I love this church. God, I love these people. I love my pastor. God, this is a good church. But oh God, we need to get a vision of God once again. Please help us. We need you. And I pray this, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heads bowed, eyes closed. We have people praying. Whatever God's will is, would you come tonight? I hope that you'll, if you can't come to the altar,